Excellent. Thanks, everybody. I'd like to call to order this policy board meeting of CRAG on Wednesday, April 27th. The time is 12:02 p.m. We have a quorum. Laura has taken attendance. Is there anyone here for public comment today? Anyone here for public comment? One last time, hearing none, we'll close the public comment session. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from the March 23rd meeting? Please make sure you state your name prior to making the motion.
Lori Spielman. Sorry, go ahead.
John Coleman, move approval.
Second, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, guys. Are there any questions or comments on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And carries. We're going to go right into presentations and updates today. I have Commissioner Boughton as number one on the list, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act update.
I actually don't have him on just yet. You know what I'll do? I will send him a quick email.
That's fine. We can move on to Adam Fox from CTDOT for a train station study and status update if he's here.
Sure, I'm here.
Thanks, Adam. The floor is yours. Thank you.
Sure. My name is Adam Fox. I'm the principal engineer of the facilities design group here at the Connecticut Department of Transportation. Here to give you a quick update on the New Haven Hartford Springfield rail program. Advance to the next slide. Just to get a brief overview on the project, it's a corridor program to double track from basically New Haven Union Station all the way up to the Massachusetts line. Our operator is Amtrak, and they're also the owner of the right-of-way. And it's about 62 miles of double track. Right now, this chart shows that phase 1, 2, and 3A are complete, which is 27 miles of double track and three new stations and two station improvements. So go to the next slide. Just an overview of what's left and just some background here is that there is no Federal Railroad Administration formula funding. So what we're working to fund the program is some competitive grants, and the department is really prioritizing expanded service to the line on all of our projects. Right now we have some signal going in north of the Connecticut River. We also have some track upgrades at the Windsor Lock Station with two new interlockings and some double track. And then we have in design, we have three contract packages where we'll be looking to double track in West Hartford, the Windsor Locks Canal area, and the Enfield Bypass. And we're also upgrading the Hartford Union Station canopy roof, which is about to go to notice to proceed in July. Next slide. And then this is just a graphical representation of the five remaining stations with various schedules, and I'll go into detail, kind of a brief detail on each one of these on the next slide. First of all, this is the Windsor Lock Station. We are looking to, the contract has been solicited, and we're going to be issuing a notice to proceed in July of this year with a proposed construction completion in April of 2025. Next. The Enfield Station, this, as I mentioned before, we're waiting on a grant, the CRISI grant from the Federal Railroad Administration, but our state match has been bonded. We're currently at a design status of about 30% design on the station. Next slide. West Hartford Station, this is up and over on Flatbush Ave in West Hartford. The funding is that it's not fully funded, and our design is that currently at 30%. Next slide. Windsor Station, we recently completed an ADA compliant station last year, but currently the full build out of the full station is not currently funded. Next slide. And then this is just an overall track chart that just shows the whole line and the double tracking and the phases that we're going to be putting in moving forward. So That open it up for any questions.
I have one, Lori Spielman, Town of Ellington.
Yes.
Just curious, how come we're spending so much on these buildings?
We're spending money on these stations where appropriate. The cost of these projects are going up a little bit with the pandemic to build these stations. We're trying to have a consistent design across the entire rail line for the actual design. We have we call it the kit of parts, which is where we're able to copy the designs from one station to the next, but each site is has its own unique challenges to it, so we're accommodating that as we move along. But, you know, these are multi-year projects, and there's a lot of track work associated with these stations that also costs a significant amount of money for the operational ability of the line for switching trains from one track to the next that we're also incorporating as part of those of the projects.
Basically, I was just talking about the buildings themselves. They seem like they're way over the top.
That's why, you know, for the Windsor station, where it's just an ADA compliant ramp right now, and we're trying to match it to the ridership of the line as well.
Thank you.
This is John Angle, Newington. There is, I know on your chart it says it's to be determined in terms of a platformer station in Newington. It's been a topic of conversation in town and in the town council. Do you have any information at all in terms of where that stands beyond just to be determined?
I think there's been lots of discussion on where the station would be located, and I think we're looking for some feedback from the community on where they'd prefer the location. We're trying to program our project with the double tracking to put our resources where the ridership, where we see the ridership going.
I know we have been in Newington, the populace and the town council have been thought we were waiting for you to come up with some, DOT to come up with some recommendation or idea of one of the two locations that are opted in town. And so we're kind of waiting for you. Is there some specific survey you're going to do that we don't know about that may help to do this? And also, is there any indication as to when this platform will be built?
I will take that information back and get back to you with a answer to that question.
Okay, you may also forward it to Keith Chapman, who is our town manager. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adam, This is Bob Crisati from Enfield. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Very good.
Just noticed up on your when you shot Enfield up on your screen, you said that there was a 30% completion for design funding, I believe. Could you expand upon that a little more?
So we have
go ahead.
So we have a design process that we go through where we progress from 30%, which is more of a conceptual, where we get the buy-in on what the station looks like, and then we progress with our overall finalizing the documents through our 30-60-90 design process. So the design is at a level of detail that's more conceptual right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Are we still looking at a start date of approximately spring of 2023?
Sorry, I don't have my slides back up anymore. Give me 1 second. Enfield is spring of 2023 is when we'd be completing the design and putting it out to bid, and then having a notice to proceed right now. We're scheduling that for May of 2024.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for the clarification. Greatly appreciate it. Yep.
Adam, this is Dwayne Martin from West Hartford. Just curious about the West Hartford station. Anything more that you can provide with regards to next steps for funding or schedules?
Sure. I think we're still waiting on the grant funding for that station. And I know that there was some studies that were being done, I think, by the Capital Region on some questions that might have come up from, you know, looking at ground leases and other opportunities in the area, and we'd be open to having further discussions on that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, Adam. This is Randall Davis from the City of Hartford. I apologize, I joined a little late. When you were talking about the unfunded costs, were you talking about design costs or construction costs? That's my first question. The second part is, can we also get you to send this out to this body, that the presentation that you just did?
Sure.
Adam, this is Matt Hart from Croc.
Yep. I just want to answer Randall's first question. So that is construction costs. A lot of the grants are construction funding. I think we usually use state funding for the design.
Thank you.
Adam, this is Matt again. Could you comment or maybe elaborate on the opportunities that the IIJA funding will present, for example, to move the stations forward from the unfunded to the funded category, do the double tracking, et cetera?
So I think for the most part, the IIJA infrastructure bill is not playing a part into the funding mechanisms for this. We're utilizing some competitive grants through the Federal Railroad Administration that they may get more funding through that, through the IIJA, but we're not, it's not directly IIJA funding from what we're programming on the more of the highway side of things, highway and bridge side.
Just a follow-up to that, can you use the IIJA funding to backfill these projects? For example, if you can utilize the EJA funding for roads, bridges, et cetera, does that give you an opportunity to reallocate other resources to rail in your five-year capital plan?
I'm not sure if I'm the best person to answer that question. I don't know if I can answer you. I apologize.
That's okay. We can follow up. Thank you.
Adam, it's Rob Alois from CROG. One of your slides has a schedule for construction for all these phases, and it sounds like, though, that the construction dollars are not there currently for some of these and that you're going to go after competitive grants. So I just want to give you an opportunity to say whether or not these dates would be held or not if you don't get the grants, or if these projects might be on hold or follow a different schedule.
I think that, excuse me, if we don't get the funding, I think then schedules will change accordingly.
Thanks.
Yep. Any other questions?
Madam Chair, this is Matt Hart. I do have an additional comment I'd like to add.
Go ahead.
Just that, you know, we the CROG staff, and I'm certain that Adam recognizes this too, we realize how important this project is to our member towns, the stations, the double tracking, et cetera. So we have recently had one meeting with the DOT with respect to its five-year capital plan. Mr. Eloise, Karen, and myself, you know, and we're going to continue to push. I also have a meeting upcoming with the commissioner, and that'll be part of our agenda as well.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Fox while he's here? Thank you very much for the presentation today and the information.
Thank you.
Sounds like we'll be following up by sending out everyone a copy of the presentation too. Laura, I know I skipped over Commissioner Boughton. Are we good on that?
Sure. He, I still don't have him on. We have reached out to him, so hopefully he is able to join us. But for now, maybe we should just continue on and circle back.
We'll move right on into our monthly reports, and I'll turn it over to our esteemed executive director, Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And unfortunately, we're going to need to reschedule Commissioner Boughton. I apologize for that. And I realize a number of folks joined today's meeting specifically for that presentation. We will look to have that next month. So moving on to my report and the larger staff report, you will find online, loaded up online. But there are a few items I want to bring to your attention. First of all, the annual meeting, very, very excited about the fact that we're going to be holding our annual meeting in person again this year, you know, after a hiatus attributable to the pandemic. And the meeting is scheduled for June 15th from 12 to 2 p.m. at the Farmington Gardens. Dr. Mohammed Al-Qadri, who I assume many of you all know, he's the director of UConn School of Public Policy. He's going to be our guest speaker. He's going to talk about the big issues we're facing in local government, including workforce development, recruitment, and retention. I know at the state government level and at the local government level as well, we're facing a large number of retirements, often referred to as the silver tsunami. I've got a bunch of it myself. So big issue for us, and looking forward to his presentation, and more importantly, meeting with all of you in person. So please register by May 31st, if you can, so that we have an accurate headcount, and really, really looking forward to seeing you all there. Next item I want to touch on is how we're going to conduct our meetings here at CROG. So I've spoken with our chair, and next month we do plan to resume hybrid policy board meetings here in our boardroom. So if you'd like, members can attend in person. We will provide a light lunch as we did in years past, or via Zoom. With respect to our individual committees like transportation, municipal services, et cetera, we've asked them to determine whether or not they wish to meet in person, in a hybrid format, or virtually, assuming the General Assembly allows that past April 30th. If a committee is going to hold a hybrid meeting, it needs to happen here in this room, because we have the technology for it. And I'd like to thank our staff team for investing in that technology and making sure we were properly set up. The next item I want to touch on is our municipal needs survey. So on behalf of our Municipal Services Committee, staff did recently issue this survey, and it's designed to help us determine our critical staffing and program needs for our member municipalities, and where there might be opportunities for additional service sharing. And the results of this survey, it's also going to inform the applications we plan to prepare to the Regional Performance Incentive Program, to the RPIP program that are due this summer. So please, please make sure that your municipality responds to this survey by May 6th. And if you have an interest in service sharing and you're not involved in the Municipal Service Committee to date, I really encourage you to get involved in this group chaired by Peter Souza, who does a fabulous job. We've got a wonderful group of CEOs and assistant CEOs that are involved, but we would like to see the membership expanded across CROG. It really does provide a good forum to develop and move good ideas forward. So I'd like to thank our committee members, Robin Nichols and Pauline, for their work on the survey today. Again, please make sure to respond by May 6th. Next item, major projects. I am getting up to speed on a variety of special projects we have underway. It's a pretty impressive list. Just a few examples, our East Coast Greenway, which many of you are familiar with, our website upgrade, and our comprehensive economic development strategy, or the SEDS update. I've also been very involved in our waste management initiative more recently, and that's an item on today's agenda. Next item, just a couple more, Mayor. Our budget for next fiscal year, we're going to present that to the executive committee and the policy board next month. And I believe you'll find our proposed budget to be a reasonable and a forward-thinking spending plan that's designed to execute our services. And then lastly, with respect to outreach, I am continuing my outreach efforts. I think I'm always going to be involved in that to some extent. As you all know, I want to meet with you in your home community. I also recognize that many of you are involved in your local budget process still, and it can be difficult to schedule another meeting at this point in time. So I will catch up with you post-budget. In the interim, I'm making good progress meeting with other key stakeholders, including the DOT, which I mentioned earlier, iQuilt, which is based here in Hartford. I'm participating in Leadership Greater Hartford's Executive Orientation Program, which really will provide me with a good introduction to leaders in various sectors across our region. And I'm becoming more involved at the national level with the National Association of Regional Councils, NARC, gotta love our acronyms in government, as well as the National Association of Development Organizations. So please review this report at your convenience, and I'll be happy to take any questions you have now or later. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Are there any questions? Great, thank you. Does any of the members have any other questions on the monthly reports, items B through F? Hearing none, we'll move on to our legislative update. I see you, Kathy, but I don't
okay.
Hear you. Okay, here you are.
Yep. Hi, folks. 1 month left to session, which is by and large a good thing. There has not been much controversy. A lot of big bills have, up to this point, passed out of various committees and even some of the chambers unanimously. So there has not been much. Much pushback. The budget, we keep hearing, is just about done. The speaker mentioned this morning he hopes to run it either Friday or Saturday at the latest. That always leaves the implementers a little bit questionable. And we all know how much can be included in the implementer bills. But if they truly have been for the last few days hammering out small details, then the implementers being drafted shouldn't be too much of a problem. And there is still the very real possibility that they'll finish all of that in session and won't need to come back at least for those issues. So right now, leadership's concentrating on the budget, and the chambers are moving through. I will say this, it has been unusual in that the number of sessions have not been excessive, and there have not been too many at all late evenings. I think last night the House was done by 7 or 7:30, so it hasn't been a particularly stressful. I shouldn't say that because there's a week to go, but the budget and those pieces are supposedly close to happening. Matt mentioned the legislature has a bill in front of them to extend the ability for agencies, municipalities, etc., to continue to do virtual, and there's been a little bit of pushback on it, but assuming it remains permissible and not mandatory, I think that should go. I believe right now it ends in June, the ability to do that. So we'll keep you updated on any status of that. I don't know if there was anything specific anybody had questions about.
Hi, Bob Bessel from Canton. I'm wondering where the legislature is with the car tax. I know there was a cap of 29, then it got moved up to 32.46. There was some proposal for a $5,000 exemption. There's also another bill to change the way motor vehicles are assessed. Any progress on those?
Nothing that's public. It's mentioned at almost every update press conference leadership has, in that they're close to an agreement. The real problem with that, and I think we talked about it last month, is that there's pushback on how do you guarantee that the next time there is a shortfall or deficit or a problem, that the first thing that gets cut or postponed would be reimbursement to towns. That's been the only consistent pushback on it. But there's funding there now. It's something most people want to have happen. So there are no specifics on any agreement, but I have to believe, particularly being an election year, that there will be something on that topic that will come out. It's just not, it's not available. And that's one of those items that could well be accounted for in the budget, but specific implementation language show up in the bills that come out afterwards, but nothing specific yet. I think Tony.
Thank you. Mansfield has had a really positive experience with these hybrid meetings, and we've even had members who have tested positive who are now able to contribute by Zoom. I would consider this a very important piece of legislation. It also allows us to let staff members to contribute to council meetings from home. If there's anything that CCM can do to support this bill, I would strongly advocate for it.
I believe they did testify in favor. And the only thing I would suggest is reaching out to your own legislators and delivering that message, right? So it doesn't fall off. And that's why I think, as long as it's permissible, not mandated, I think it has a better chance of going. And the legislators themselves, I mean, the Senate set up this kind of unusual process. Two senators that I'm aware of were positive and somehow safely got into the building. And there are some small rooms in the basement of the Capitol. And they were set up with the equipment to vote and to participate while they were in the building, but they were not with other folks. So, they have benefited from that ability.
Okay. We will contact our legislators. I would hope that other members of CROG who are present would also do the same. I don't understand what the opposition would be. Can you explain to me why people would be opposed?
No, it came out of committee on a party line vote. Not a lot of conversation on it, just more along the lines of government control. That was kind of the conversation.
Well, it's interesting. Our council member who tested positive and was able to participate nonetheless was a Republican who raised lots of questions in his virtual participation on the budget, among other things. So from our perspective, it's definitely a bipartisan issue.
Yeah, I would definitely reach out to your delegation and pass that on.
I just got a text message from our town manager that he's doing this.
Okay, any other questions for Kathy?
from the town of Andover. Quick question. I know I get the updates from cost. And one of the things we were looking at is SB 423, which is going to mandate AC units in all elementary schools and all high schools, or dismissing class whenever the either humidity or temperature breaks a certain threshold. Is there any likelihood that's going to pass this year?
From what I hear, and he was not able to be on this today, Chris Smith in our office, who works with the superintendents and the rest, I don't believe so. I think I'm pulling up now. I think they're very significant. There's significant cost associated with it. It's also listed as a state mandate, which by itself could contribute to. I think it's just too weighty, too costly right now.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Thanks, Kathy. Good luck with the final week.
Thank you.
Moving on to our action items today, we have two action items. Number 7, resolution regarding our solid waste consultant, Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we have a cover memo and a resolution posted online. So as we all know, MIRA is planning to close its plant this June 30th. And I think this board was very astute in approving $50,000 to retain a consultant to help us develop some short-term and long-term solutions and strategies. What are we going to do moving forward? I know many of our member towns have figured out short-term, many of our MIRA towns have figured out short-term solutions, but thinking more importantly about the long-term. So we did issue a RFP back at the end of January, and we did just recently interview 2 of the 3 firms that responded. And we are seeking your approval today to select one of the firms, Resource Recovery Systems, Inc., out of Michigan, to serve as our consultant. So let me elaborate just a little bit further. What are some of the benefits we see with respect to this engagement? Why does it make sense for CROG to engage in this? Number one, we'd be able to take advantage of experts who work in the field, take advantage of their expertise, and they can work with us to develop these short and long-term solutions as we look at best practices around the nation and ideally around the world with respect to waste management. And this firm, RRS, does partner with another firm, Tetra Tech, which is based out of Massachusetts. And they're an expert in solid waste, particularly on the organic side as well. So the two firms combined, we think, would be a very, very useful combination for us. So RRS has submitted a proposal that does exceed our budget somewhat. So they've submitted a proposal with a budget of $75,000 divided into 3 phases. Each phase would total $25,000 each and would be billed to us at completion. So given the scope of this work and the expertise that we think the consultant does bring to the table, we are requesting that the board authorize an increase of an additional $25,000 for this project. And those additional funds would come from either our regional services grants or from our regional fund. As we talked about, as I mentioned a moment or two ago, the project would be structured over 3 phases. Phase 1 would be a system assessment. Phase 2 would look at developing short-term solutions, including those related to waste diversion. And the 3rd phase would be those longer term plans, 10-year plans for resource recovery and disposal. The way I would approach this, if you authorize this, is I would enter into an agreement with the firm to begin phases 1 and 2. phases one and two and see how well both of those go before initiating phase three, because we may want to make some adjustments depending on the market. We also want to involve key stakeholders in this initiative, including DEEP. So we are looking for your approval of the proposed motion today, which would authorize me to execute a contract with RRS and to increase the budget from 50 to 75,000. Again, I'm just going to start with phases one and two. And if those go well, we would then initiate phase three. And I do want to thank the staff and the selection committee that have been involved with this effort to date. We've had Russ Arnold from Farmington, Mike Beesey from Glastonbury, Tom Roy from Simsbury, Julian Freund, who worked for many years for Manchester and now works for the state, very, very knowledgeable, as well as our own Robin Nichols and Pauline Yoder. So requesting the board's approval regarding this item, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, John Coleman, I would move the approval.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Is there a second?
Peter Souza, I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Souza. Are there any questions or comments on this before we vote? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Action item number eight, Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Cheryl Assis, our Director of Public Safety, would love to be here with us today, but she is attending CCM's annual Emergency Management Symposium, and I think it's important for her to be there at the symposium. So CROG has received funding from NACHO, which is the National Association of City and County Health Officials, for many, many years now, as our longtime members are well aware. They've got a new grant opportunity that they just announced. And this is in response to the pandemic, to respond, innovate, sustain, and equip, a RISE grant award. We did apply for the highest level, $75,000, back in March, and we were notified that our application has been selected. And this funding we would utilize to continue to build out our COVID-19 response efforts. You know, the pandemic remains with us still. And chances are, you know, we'll be facing future waves or perhaps related pandemics. And we can put this grant funding to very good use to prepare and to respond. I'd like to thank Cheryl and everybody else who was involved in putting together this application. Again, the award is for $75,000. There is no local match required. The funds will become available this July 1st, and the performance period will run for 6 months. And requesting board approval of this item as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, John Coleman, I'd move approval.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Do we have a second?
Bob Bessel, I second.
Thank you, Mr. Bessel. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number nine, Mr. Coleman, our TIP amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. We have a variety of TIP amendments throughout the region for a variety of activities. I would be happy to answer any specific questions if anyone has on any items. They are all in our region, and they are all not with our regional money, which is nice. And the Transportation Committee unanimously approved all of them and recommend same to the Policy Board, acting as the in its capacity to approve these, and I would so move.
Thank you. Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second, Peter Souza.
Thank you, Mr. Souza. Any questions or comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Item number 10, our correspondence and our handouts. Mr. Hart, I'll turn it over to you for items A, B, and C, respectively.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, we've got these three items in here. First is the annual report from Metro Hartford, making progress there. The OPM memo on parcel data collection, that is something they do each and every year. And then lastly, 10C is a letter that the Association of Connecticut COGS issued to Governor Lamont with respect to the IIJA funding process. As our members are probably well aware, the state of Connecticut is contemplating that COGS would play a pretty significant role with respect to administering a portion of those federal infrastructure dollars, in which applications would come from the municipality to the COG. COG would review, score those items, probably similar in fashion to how we handle LOTSIP right now, you know, if you want to think of that analogy. And then we would pass those applications on to the state for its review and approval. We could also see a situation where regional applications are coming directly from the COG. If we're looking at applications that are going to involve two or more of our communities, we will want to do that. So we're just thanking the governor for highlighting the role that COGS can play in this process. We think we're well situated to do that. And we're happy to take any questions that members may have, Madam Chair, regarding these items.
Any questions? All right. Is there any other business today?
No other business from staff, Madam Chair.
I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second, Lori Spielman.
We are adjourned. The time is 12:43 p.m. Everybody have a wonderful day. We'll see you next month.
Thank you all.
Thank you.